Good day, Power Hour Nation. Wayne Elliott here from Canada. Honored and pleased to be your host again today. I've got Kevin Smith down in Bloomfield, Missouri with us. And, yeah, thank you for listening and being with us today. How are you today, Kevin?
I'm great. How about you? It's another great day in America. How about
just like post Jersey's a little bit better. It is a great day.
How's that crazy prime minister you got up there?
Well, he's still spending money, Kevin.
Yeah, I guess that's everywhere around, right?
And it runs in his family, that's for sure.
Didn't his father run that place up there for a while, run it into the ground?
Yeah, 13 years. We went from being cash rich, zero debt, 1968. As many natural resources as any country in the world, I think. Timber, nickel, iron ore, coal, the prairies to grow the food. Yeah, we had it all, and we only had in those days seven what they call crown corporations, federal government-owned businesses. And when Pierre Elliott Trudeau, Prime Minister Trudeau Sr., left office about 12 or 13 years later, we had a debt and 400 and some odd crown corporations. The government really went into business. And we haven't recovered since.
sound like
debt getting bigger. I think our debt is very, very close to the U.S. debt per capita. And, you know, the one thing that always gets me is the one huge difference, Kevin, is the Defense Department. You know, America... I don't know this for a fact, but America may have more armed forces in Korea than we have in total. I really don't know. But to put it in perspective, you know, in our warships, except for the, I think there's 12 frigates, that's all our warships. We have no destroyers. Haven't had an aircraft carrier in Canada in 50 years. The Bonaventure was, we went from the number, at one time, I believe, the number three Navy in the world, though we're part of Great Britain and still, to whatever we are now, we're ranked the number five. It's ranking one through five. America's one. Great Britain's one. Russia's number one. And Canada's number five, along with India. I never forget reading this. The article was entitled "The Sinking of the Canadian Navy." And it closed by saying Canada's ranked number five, along with Indonesia and Malaysia. Both countries are on Canada's permanent aid list.
Very good.
So it's kind of weird. And then our prime minister made great efforts to get on the temporary UN Security Council. They give out these temporary seats, I guess, and they rotate them around. Well, he didn't get in. Little Ireland did with 4 million people. And I forget the other country, Kevin, got the other seat, temporary two-year seat. And the reasons that our Prime Minister Trudeau didn't get a seat, he spent a lot of money trying to get, I'll tell you, but what we did do was let down the UN, and Canada did not provide the number of military staff that it was committed to. And it failed on some other categories, too. I don't know if it was... money might have been one of them, and
that always,
you know,
helps.
So the big difference with America is you guys have this huge Defense Department. You never stop building new ships. We haven't built one in so long now. It's not funny. A major warship, and we have four old British submarines. I think there's either one or two that are sailing. I don't believe the other two are, and it was years before we got one to sail. The two of the Navy boys were one was killed at least on the way over, the voyage over from England. They had a fire on the one. And we're billions into these used submarines now. We maybe could have had a couple of new ones, but, you know, so that's a huge difference, was my point, Kevin. The America's defense spending, God only knows what that is, but you guys, you know, in my eyes, help protect the free world. And Canada, I don't believe now with our Navy, could protect our coastlines. So that's what makes us a ranking number five. And,
are you first in line to scrap those ships, or is it bidding?
It's a bidding process, yeah. It's a bidding process. We did one of the tankers and a couple of destroyers and a bunch of auxiliary vessels. And we did the Quest. That was an interesting ship. It was, at the time it was built, it was the quietest ship in the world, Kevin.
Wow.
Quest was about, I can't remember exactly, but maybe 250 feet long. And it had these acoustic tiles that are what made it so quiet. The hull was lined with them, and the engine room and everything. It was a pain in the neck to recycle, truthfully, with these very seriously adhered acoustic tiles. But I guess they really worked. It made it the quietest ship, so we recycled her as well out in Nova Scotia. And
was that a research ship?
It was a, I guess it was a, I don't know, Kevin, research, espionage. There was a reason it was the quietest, I take it. So it must have been doing some serious work for the Navy. Otherwise, there's an old former warship that's up for bid right now called the Cormorant, named after that ocean bird, you know, the Cormorant. And she's in terrible shape out in Nova Scotia, leaning over to one side. So we're hoping to get that one and a Coast Guard ship out in the west coast of Canada. And then some wrecked and abandoned vessels, some sunken vessels that we bid for the government. So we're staying busy and looking at a whole bunch of lakes freighters, half a dozen, I guess, in total for the shipbreaking yard here on Lake Erie at Port Colborne. So it's been busy, but our Defense Department is largely scrapped. The Navy, rather, is largely scrapped. I think we're still using these old, I can't think of the name of them, Kevin, helicopters, but they're very old, and I don't know why they have, well, I guess money is the reason they haven't been replaced, but Jesus, everything has a shelf life like that, you'd like to think the boys had good equipment. It's the same with any old equipment. The maintenance costs go crazy, you know, and you are better off in the end with a new truck or a new tractor once one is, far enough gone, it's cost you a fortune to keep running.
After you get a bid on a ship, how long does it take you to break it down?
Well, usually first we have to get it ready for tow, for the towing. And there are various distances and various voyages. Sometimes even inside the Great Lakes could be a long tow from Chicago or from the lakehead up at Thunder Bay or Superior, Wisconsin. There is a long distance. So the towing always was the riskiest part of the business. And these days with the Canadian towing regulations, you can't tow a dead vessel with any fuel in it or any oil, hydrocarbons of any kind, even oily water. And that was a smart regulation. We participated with the Transport Canada people when they brought out the new regulations and guidelines for towing. It took effect in 2013. That you can't tow a vessel with these liquids and hydrocarbons. Of course, any time there's an accident or a sinking, Kevin, where there's oil involved, you know, it's what a mess, right? So that was a wise thing to do to change that. Really, the U.S. Coast Guard took the lead on that. They were the first, really, to do that. And so now it's now a regulation in Canada. And that's the first thing to do. The boys suck out any fuel, oil, residuals underneath tanks and generators and engines and so forth, the sumps, and then they actually detergent wash fuel tanks, of course, oil tanks, and they detergent wash them and vacuum them out. Then they have to secure any loose items, of course, that if you get out in a rough sea, you can't have stuff flying around. And then it's, you know, it's really battening everything down, as the expression goes, and having emergency tow lines and an emergency tow plan and ports of refuge, if you have any, on your towing route. Sometimes you got to go a long distance and there is no safe haven to duck into. And you can't just put these things anyway. You know, you've got a tugboat or two, and which are generally over 100 feet long themselves, and then out in the ocean they'll put out a quarter mile of tow line. But then the vessel that you're towing, you know, some of these ships are 600-700 feet, most of them really are 600-700 feet long. So it's not like parking your car at the Walmart, Kevin.
No. Do you have to raise a certain kind of flag over the ship while you're towing it?
Yeah, you got to put up a black ball or a black diamond. They have them that we use now that you can buy. They're made of fabric and they'll spin in the wind. But you basically have to have a black object up on top of the mast that shows other vessels that you're a dead ship under tow. And we have to have the running lights, the side lights especially, the red and green, so the other traffic can judge itself accordingly. And so the tow prep is the first thing, and then of course the tow, and it depends on the voyage, but it's a minimum of one lead tug, and then we always have assisting tugs to depart, and then you need assisting tugs to arrive to dock the ship at wherever you're coming in. So if they're going into Sydney, Nova Scotia, well, the second tug will go out into the ocean and meet the tow and hook up onto the stern end, the back end. And that's your brake, your back tug is, and bring the ship in together. So, yeah, the towing, you know, it's weather sensitive. We get weather reports on the hour and have to have a good enough weather window to depart, depending on how long your voyage is. There's a close call with a warship years ago in terms of we didn't leave Halifax because of the hurricane coming. And it was a good thing we didn't. We actually set a time. There was an issue with the Navy. We set a time for the latest that we would depart. And it's a good thing we held to it, because once we got out there, it was like a barnacle farm on the bottom of this destroyer. And we got one knot less of speed than we thought we would. Oh. And we'd have been in trouble there. So we're always trying to err on the side of caution and good weather reports and a good enough weather window to depart. They don't want us ever to depart if the wind is over 15 knots. You must depart in calmer weather than that. And then when the vessel arrives at the recycling yard, you know, depending on the first thing done really is to sampling and testing program of paints, asbestos, if there is any other insulations, to make sure they're not asbestos or confirm they are. The tanks are already cleaned, so they don't have to do that. And then take off the furnishings and the non-metallics and the carpets and the whatever else is on there, wood, and till we get down to just bare metal, and that's when the cutting starts. And so depending on the amount of abatement work, like asbestos, we had our record biggest asbestos job a couple of years ago on a ferry, Kevin, that ran out in eastern Canada. And between the quantity of asbestos and the way some of it was adhered to the steel deckheads and so forth, it was a $2 million job, that asbestos abatement. And that was a tough one. And, of course, took months and months. But usually, like from the point a ship is gotten ready, towed to the recycling yard, been decontaminated, depolluted, if you will, asbestos and all that, from that point, you know, the average ship we'll do in 3 months. The total process is usually closer to 6 months with that waste work takes so long. And there's only, it has to be done properly and air sampling and testing and so forth. So it's a way more complicated business than it was when I started years ago, Kevin.
Oh, I bet. Back to all them rules and regulations, you got to jump through hoops to get things done.
Well, you know, so, of course, some of the regulations are very good because it was, you know, for years it was a bit of a cowboy show, towing ships overseas.
If you had them regulations back in the day, you wouldn't have your lung problems with that asbestos.
No, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Some things we, you know, we learned the hard way, unfortunately, but... yeah, there was so much we didn't know then. Well, you know, there was no Environmental Protection Act till 1970, Kevin.
Yeah.
Literally till 1970, a steel mill or an outfit could, a carborundum plant, they could just spew out the black smoke, the sulfur dioxide out of some of the nickel furnaces. And it's
dump
unbelievable, really. Thank God
river.
We did get an EPA.
Yeah, I got some sad news here. Former GOP presidential candidate Herman Cain dies. Have you heard that?
No.
Yeah, he was a cancer survivor. Let's see, Herman Cain, the former Godfather Pizza CEO and one-time Republican presidential candidate who campaigned on a sweeping tax reform plan called 999 plan, died Thursday morning after a month-long battle with COVID-19. He was 74 years old. He was a good man. I thought he was a good man. I liked Herman Cain. And plus, I liked his pizza. Did you have any of his Godfather pizza up there?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah. I hope they didn't put him on a ventilator, because that's like certain death, you know, on these old people. They bring you in, you go on those ventilators, then they blow out your lungs and you die. So I hope that didn't happen to him.
Gee, did you ever in your life recall, Kevin, a medical situation? And I mean, compared to when you and I were young, cancer's an epidemic.
Exploded.
It used to be kind of rare.
Exploded. Yeah, it was really rare when we were kids. And they didn't even say cancer back in the day. It was always the big C.
That's right, yeah. But did you ever in your life see a time or a case where the medical experts, scientists, and doctors disagreed with one another so much, and right to the opposite ends of the spectrum, even the hydroxychloroquine, for example, that I remember, geez, they gave your President Bush an awful hard way to go over that, and now it is apparently has been used quite widely and successfully, and
yeah, for 70,
I don't think
67.
We're hearing about it so much, Kevin, because I think there are certain people that don't want. Well, it's like natural health products. Comparatively, relatively speaking, they're cheap compared to Western medicine, and so there's great interest in not having cheap solutions, Kevin.
That's right. Fauci is pushing that Remdesivir, which costs I think $5,000 a month. And I heard he's got stock in it, or he's got some financial gain in it. So that's why he's poo-pooing. How's that say? Hydroxychloroquine? Hydroxychloroquine. Yeah. 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 They got study after study after study after study that it won't hurt you and, for the most part, heals you, you know? And supposedly
it's
great for arthritis, too.
It's on the WHO's must-have inventory list. It's 70 years old, apparently.
Yeah.
It's an anti-malaria drug.
Yes.
And so you're right. It isn't something new that they're wondering about.
Supposedly
I think the trouble with it for some people, Kevin, is that it costs less than 50 cents a tablet, and
that's...
You don't need a doctor, nurse, hospital, or doctor's office to administer it like you do a needle or a vaccine. So there's a lot of money on the table here.
Sure is.
The difference between, you could do the math, I never did it, but let's say you had to take $10 worth of this. I'm just throwing numbers here, Kevin, because I don't know how much people have to take. But if you had to take 10 of those tablets, well, that's less than $5 cost. You could do it at home like you do your other prescription pills.
Right.
Don't need the doctor there or a nurse or a hospital. And Bill Gates said that in an interview I saw that I don't know how he'd know this far in advance, but that there's a good chance that the vaccine would cost not more than $1,000 a dose. But I just heard the other day, again, I don't know how he'd know that, but the other day, it's recommended, and now they still don't have a vaccine that's made it through the trials, but they had this comment that you would need three doses. One immediately, one in 72 hours or 24 hours, and one 12 months from now. If they cost $1,000 apiece just for the vaccine juice, the dose, and it takes a nurse, a doctor, hospital, doctor's office, takes some establishment with a big overhead. You know, you got to sign in, sign out, all the rest of it. It's much more expensive, of course, than taking a tablet you get from the pharmacy. And I worked out the numbers. If they were to do it globally, like Gates is suggesting we should to get rid of this, it's approximately $30 trillion for those three doses.
That's a lot of money. And they're saying that old people will have to take up to five shots. So that's even more money.
Wow.
And as today, 80% of the people that have taken in the study, from what I've read, have had some sort of side effects, whether it's fever, whether it's chills, whether it's, aches and pains or really getting sick.
Well, we'll talk 80%. About what Bill Gates says is the downside of the vaccines after the break. We'll be right back, folks.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, and I was so excited. I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com. Or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Kirkman by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Welcome back, folks, with Wayne Elliott, Kevin Smith. On the Power Hour, thank you for joining us again today. We've been talking about the vaccine when we left for commercial break, and I was about to say that that Bill Gates estimated the minimum of, I heard two things, a minimum of 750,000 people would be expected to die from the vaccine if it were given to everyone in the world. And the second thing I heard was that, you know, from past history and whatever statistics, I guess, that it would be between 700,000 and 2 million people. Now, it doesn't look like a lot, I guess, against 7.8 or so billion people. But it just begs the question, Kevin, if the total death rate from corona, which we've discussed this, I don't believe it's even close. Now, there's been some admission from Florida that many of the cases were really pneumonia. They were called corona.
Right.
So how many places did that happen, and what are the real numbers? But even if these numbers are all accurate and true, which, you know, as I said, I don't believe they're close, but if they were, aren't we still under the 700,000?
Yeah, I think we're
in the world,
two.
And up to 2 million. God.
Yeah, we're at 0.2, I think. Less than 1%. You know, what is 0.2? That's less than a quarter of a percent.
It's die
from the
1%.
COVID, and then you're going to kill, admittedly kill a 700,000 to a million people for the vaccine. I don't think it's worth it. Do you? Plus all the reactions.
700,000 to 2 million. Well,
yeah,
I don't think so. But Jim Strauss always said to me years ago that, you know, he did not believe in these kinds of vaccines. And, you know, in fact, he was pretty adamant about it. He'd raise his voice. He said to me the one time, I said, why wouldn't you get a flu vaccine, Jim? He said, because I'm not going to get injected with a cocktail of viruses and poisons that I'm trying to avoid in the first place.
Bingo.
You know,
yeah,
I think
there.
It was key. When he said cocktail, you know.
You don't know what they're putting in these things either, you know. You just don't know what they're – and talk about safe. Well, they're not safe, a lot of them. Man, it's some crazy stuff. They put mercury and all sorts of viruses in it and all sorts of crazy stuff. So who would believe them, you know?
Well, and, you know, from what I also believe, Kevin, about our bodies and man-made chemicals, you know, how we don't have equipment to deal with them. They're not natural. And so often is the culprit in intoxifying our livers and kidneys, really our filters. You know, and as Jim always said, pharmaceuticals are certainly in the man-made chemical category.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of conspicuous. It's kind of suspicious, rather. When they do their clinical studies, their five-year clinical studies, to be a candidate, you must have a clean body. That means you're on no drugs.
Right.
And when they test them, they test one at a time. So my friend Joe, he was prescribed 16 drugs before we started weaning him off them, and he was dealing with natural products instead, herbal formulas from Strauss but way back then. Now, those 16 drugs, Jim Strauss would say, they don't know what each other are doing inside us, and we don't, you know, the fact that they don't seek to heal or cure, Kevin, and I think that's why the word is outlawed, cure, is because they don't seek to, they don't claim to.
No.
And if they did cure, of course, then you'd get to quit taking some of these pills, and that's pretty rare to hear somebody be told they can stop the pills, whatever pills they're taking.
Yeah, they treat the symptoms. That's it.
They treat the symptoms, and they seek to change or alter our body's own functions and systems.
That's right.
To deal with the symptoms. Where
they shunt something.
Anything natural, Kevin, supports your body to do what it's supposed to do, plain and simple. Supports your systems and body. So it doesn't seek to change. That sounds dangerous in itself to me, but then again, I don't use them or believe in them. But so these vaccines now, without the long clinical study, you know, what I'd worry about most, I guess, would be, well, first of all, it's kind of funky, the thought to be injected with a cocktail of different viruses. I mean, who knows what to put together here? It's very scary to me.
Exactly.
But who knows what happens 5 years from now, Kevin? Three years from now, 12 months.
Yeah, I was listening to Robert Kennedy Jr. yesterday, it has to be, and he was just talking about vaccines in general, what they give to the kids, and the adverse reactions following the percussive vaccine. Do you know how long after that they study, after they what length of time that they study after giving a kid a pertussis vaccine? You know, 48 hours. And it says that on the insert in the vaccine itself.
Yeah.
Hepatitis B, they give it 4 days. Hepatitis B from Merck, they give it 5 days. So anything that happened, any adverse reaction, the kid swells up after 5 or 6 days or a week or dies after that's length of time, it doesn't go into the study. I mean, these things are these things sound so unsafe, you know, and they're putting them into our kids. It's just insane.
You know, the thing I'll never forget as long as I live, Kevin, is was a very, very popular drug for arthritis. I'm pretty sure it was called Vioxx. There were tens of millions of people on it in the world. It was apparently very successful for arthritis. Someone got the idea, scientist, I suppose, that maybe these would work for polyps on the colon. Now, I have no idea what the connection is there. I'm not a scientist. I have no idea if that was like throwing stuff on the wall and hope it sticks. I'm sure there was some smartness and education put to it. But anyway, so they started a five-year clinical study. You know what happened? It was stopped short because they recognized somebody was paying closer attention on this study than the original one. What they recognized was it increased people's risk of heart attack by 400 to 500%. So they banned the drug. It was no longer available for arthritis or anybody else. So that made me really not trust clinical studies. And years ago when this happened, I read a bunch of clinical studies. Now, read the one on the world's most popular, biggest-selling drug. It's for cholesterol. I'm not going to say the name. Everybody knows the name. It's been on TV. Read the clinical study, and you might be like me, wondering, how did this get approved for use? Why was this considered a success? So that's all I'm going to say about it. But the world's biggest-selling drug, some $50 billion worth, if you read the clinical study, you'd say to yourself, well, that didn't work.
Absolutely.
And what they claim for a success, because the thing about cholesterol pills, Kevin, none of them claim to clean out plaque you have.
No, they don't. Nope. Not one.
They use the blood test, which is a myth, okay? If cholesterol is floating in your blood, it doesn't harm you. It's not blocking or restricting any blood flow. So any excess cholesterol you have, if your body's working perfectly, that would move to your disposal unit, just like digested food or other toxins are supposed to, and you'd get rid of them in the bathroom. Cholesterol floating in your blood never restricted blood, never gave anybody a heart attack. It's when it builds into plaque and restricts blood flow. So when they're taking these blood tests that this is all based on, oh, Uncle Kevin, your cholesterol's high. Your body may be working perfectly, okay? That's the cholesterol myth. Now, here's the other thing that Western medicine has always refused to acknowledge. 80% of heart attack victims have low blood cholesterol.
That's because
I had low when I wasn't well, Kevin. Yeah. Mine was perfect. They never would have suggested the pills or blood thinners to me. We have a different scale than you, but mine was 3.0 or pretty much perfect. Even through the time where, let me tell you, I was not in perfect shape. I had clogged arteries. And so 8 out of 10 heart attack victims have low blood cholesterol. Do you know why, Kevin? It's not floating in your blood. It's stuck somewhere.
It's stuck in your arteries.
Right. They have to do the very dangerous angiogram for that. That's where they go into your main artery, put dye in, and they see the blockages. That's how they tell when we have these restrictions or blockages. I'll never have one of those either because it has the same death rate as open heart surgery. You know, something like 2 out of 100, yeah. I believe it is. That's dangerous, that angiogram. They do millions of them, I'm sure,
and they're not cheap either.
No, of course not. Of course not, but, you know, my point is the famous cholesterol myth is this business that high blood cholesterol is very dangerous, when the fact is that 8 out of 10 heart attack victims have low. How many times have you heard somebody say, Kevin, geez, you know, he went to the doctor, his cholesterol and everything was perfect.
Perfect.
Can't believe he had a heart attack.
Yeah, next day he's dead.
That's right.
And plus, our brains use, that's fuel for our brains, cholesterol.
Well, we need it or our liver wouldn't produce it, right? We need it or our liver would not produce it because our body is perfect. Everything works perfectly. So, yes, we need it. Some of us, like me, Kevin, you know, I always blame milk because of the ridiculous quantities I drank and why I clogged up young. But whatever the cause, some of us are prone to it. And, boy, if you are, there's a good chance your blood cholesterol level will be low like mine was, and the doctor won't suggest those pills. That's the only lucky break to it is those liver-shuttering statin drugs. That's the only break you get is not going on those. But otherwise, boy, oh, boy, you're told you're in... Hey, no problem there with cholesterol, Wayne. Yeah, right. Yeah, I was jammed right up. So, you know, there's the big cholesterol myth. You could say the wrong people, and it's not 100%, Kevin, but I believe you could generally say that if those pills worked, the wrong people are on them. And you know what I'm saying? They would never have suggested them to me. So, you know, is called the...
It just doesn't sound good for me to shut down a quarter or half of your liver, you know, shunt the stunt your liver production. That just doesn't sound like a good treatment, you know?
Well, liver's got a lot of jobs, Kevin. It's not just making cholesterol.
Sure does.
You know that. I think it's 238 functions or something, our liver. So we're governing down all of them.
Yeah,
and I just don't think that's
a good portion of that. That can't be good for you.
Well, I don't think so. And listen, in the drug maker's defense, they say to get a blood test every 30 days. And the blood test is to check for liver enzymes, the health of your liver. And you know, I'm not exaggerating now. Let's just use a round number. If I've talked to 1,000 people, I've talked to more, but if I've talked to 1,000 people, Kevin, about this, that are on these statin drugs, how many out of 1,000 do you think that I talk to are getting that monthly blood test?
I don't know.
I only recall one. And one of my old football coaches, I hadn't seen him in 2 years. I see him at an ex-player's function, and he was blown up like a balloon, Coach Nil, blown up like a balloon. And I said to him, George, what's the matter with you? He's what? I said, you're like a balloon, like you're inflated. What? I said, are you taking statin drugs? He said, yeah. I said, for how long? He said, well, about 2 years now. I said, what do your blood tests say? He said, what blood tests? I said, have you not gone for the blood test they tell you to go for? He said, no. I said, have you not gone for any? No. And, he trusted me. I love the guy. He coached me in high school and then later on. I was close with him. He trusted me enough, Kevin. I had a bottle of heart drops in the car. I said to him, George, do you trust me? He said, yeah. I said, please, and you can't say this to everybody, Kevin, but I said, please, stop taking those today. You don't have to be weaned off those ones. Your liver will just thank you. Stop those today and start this today. And, Kevin, in 30 days, he shrunk down to normal George size.
How many pounds did he lose?
I don't know how much weight he lost, but it was like blown up like a balloon. I don't know if it was water or what the heck. I never seen anything like it. It was shocking to me. But 30 days later, he's back to normal size George again. So it wasn't fat or anything like that. It was he should have gone for those blood tests. He'd have found something wrong. And then what do you think killed him in the end? His liver.
Oh, my God.
Now, he made it to 78, but that's not the point. His liver got him. And, they give you the warnings. The drug makers tell you. So if you don't do what's on that paperwork, well, they also tell you what you're at risk of, the serious potential side effects and serious harmful effects and serious reactions. So I've been telling people for a while now, Kevin, on the radio that by all means, please take the 5 minutes or 10 and read the paperwork that comes with your prescription. And if you can't read the small print, get on the computer and Google the name of the drug, and it'll give you all that information. And the other important information to look for, folks, because, the pharmacists and the doctors, very busy people. They're smart, they're educated, but they're very busy people, and they're human, and everybody makes mistakes, and even computers make mistakes, especially with humans typing into them and programming them.
Yeah.
So
you look after
yourself and read that paperwork, because the other thing you want to look for is what drugs, if you're on other drugs, other pills other than a drug, which ones contraindicate with the one or ones you're on. So that's very important. There's two things you want to look for: serious potential side effects, harmful effects, so that if it happens to you, you'll know. Go to the doctor, tell he or she what's happened, and maybe they'll change your pill or reduce your dose or something, but you must tell the doctor, and that just like the paperwork tells you to. And the other thing you can learn is, in case you're prescribed another pill for something else, you'll learn which pills you can't take with that pill that you've been taking. And Kevin, this happens. My friend Joe, I talk about all the time. When he moved into my house, he was on death's door, and he was on 13 prescriptions. Well, the last time he went to the doctor, the doctor added 3 more. And when Joe came back, he was a bit lazy. He didn't like to read. He asked me to check them out. He knew in those days with Strauss 20 years ago, I was doing lectures and everything. asked me to check them out, and I had this book of the 100 most prescribed drugs. And I checked it out, and two out of those three new ones, Kevin, contraindicated with some of the 13 and Joe was already on. And that was enough to convince him that, wait a minute, and that's when he said to me, Wayne, you tell me what we should do now and help me here. He was already on the heart drops, which saved him. The liver formula Strauss had in those days was incredible. He lost 60 pounds in the first 2 months, Kevin. He was 400.
Oh, that's good.
And he lost 60 pounds detoxing in the first 2 months, and which is unbelievable in itself. But that scared him when he saw that both the doctor prescribed these pills and the pharmacist filled the prescriptions, and it should have said that, you know, it should have come up on that pharmacist screen or the doctor. Somebody should have known that you can't have these pills together. And that was enough to convince Joe to start heading the other way in a hurry. And we managed to wean him off all. He didn't take any of those last three and weaned him off all 13. He wasn't even a diabetic anymore. Stopped testing his sugar after about, 9-10 months. It was 5 every day, his sugar level. It was, and they tell you not to eat fruit, Kevin. If you're a diabetic, you're in the hospital, they'll give you white milk, they'll give you white bread, they might give you a pudding cup for dessert, but you're only allowed one piece of fruit a day, one small piece. Well, with Joe, at least in his case, I proved that that wasn't correct, because as part of the weight loss deal, he was eating about 8 pieces of fruit a day. He wasn't eating shortbreads anymore. He wasn't eating pound cake anymore. You know, I was right on him. He was eating lots of vegetables and salads and taking these formulas. And he came back to life, you know. But it's very scary stuff. I mean, these are man-made chemicals, Kevin.
Yeah, it comes down to you have to take responsible for your own health, you know. Because you got to check whatever the doctor gives you, make sure, yeah, exactly what you said. Make sure they don't interfere with each other. Because the doctors are busy. Like, you know, they make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes.
They're not going to do it intentionally. They're good people. They want to help you. That's what they've got an oath to do. But, yes, humans do make errors. Things get overlooked. They claim, many say, Kevin, that today the leading cause of death is doctor-prescribed drugs.
Absolutely. I think it's the leading cause of death in America is doctors' mistakes and the drugs that they prescribe. The leading, you know, it used to be cancer or car wrecks or whatever. No, now I think it's doctors. I mean, that's insane.
You know, about 10 years ago, they did a poll of medical doctors and asked them if they could say something to their patient, what would they say? And the doctors, sorry about that, a lot more. the doctors almost unanimously said what they'd like to say to their patients is, stop asking for so many pills. And
well, they
I
see
think
it
the
on
doctors...
television. Yeah, they shouldn't have it on television. You see it on television, you want it. You know, it's a commercial. And and every third commercial is a prescription drug, you know?
Well, I think doctors wish that wasn't so. I think doctors wish they wouldn't advertise them the way they do so much. And, you know, they do kind of glamorize them, Kevin. It's always good-looking people, you know, nicely dressed and attractive. And they really do sell it that way, and then very quickly they give you the numerous potential harms and
and then they have a page at the bottom of the commercial, all the side effects that you might have, you know.
Yep.
40 side effects, and then it says it may kill you at the end, you know. So who would take
it? Cause death, bleeding, all kinds of things. But, you know, and doctors, I believe, wish they didn't have all this advertising because people come in and ask. You know, I saw this before poll. They wish they could say to their patients, stop asking for so many pills. And, you know, stop asking for a fix for everything. Sometimes, Kevin, things just are what they are. You know, if you've got, you know, for example, you've got indigestion or heartburn. Well, they got lots of pills for that now. You don't have to suffer as bad. But here's the thing. If you've got indigestion or heartburn, you're likely eating something that doesn't agree with you. Maybe you should realize what that is and stop eating it or drinking it.
Yeah, you're doing something wrong.
My dad took the first one on the market. I believe it was called Tagamet. And I'll never forget him saying to me, Wayne, it's great. I can eat cucumbers again. I can eat all the things that bothered me before and gave me heartburn. And he encouraged me to try them. I said, Dad, I think I want to know when I'm, you know, when I'm bothered by something like that. So I can, what I used to do when I'd get heartburn or indigestion was just flood it with water, Kevin. And usually, you know, it would work, just drinking a lot of water. But my dad just loved that you could cover it up. I said, Dad, what about the, maybe you're doing damage to yourself, but these pills don't let you feel it.
Right.
But people want to feel good, Kevin. They don't want to feel bad or just the way it is. We'll be back after these commercials, folks. Thank you.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs, addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.